The old woman brightened at once, nodding proudly.
"Such a clever little toy," she whispered in a British accent. "My son got it for me. I'm listening to my email. Can you believe it? Listening to my email? This little treasure actually reads it for me. With my old eyes, it's such a help."
"I have one too," Langdon said with a smile as he sat down beside her, careful not to wake up her sleeping husband. "But somehow I lost it last night."
"Oh, tragedy. Did you try the Find Your iPhone feature? My son says..."
"Stupid me, I never activated that feature." Langdon gave her a sheepish look and ventured hesitantly. "If it's not too much of an intrusion, would you mind terribly if I borrowed yours for just a moment? I need to look up something online." "It would be a big help to me."
"Of course."
She pulled out the earbuds and thrust the device into his hands.
"No problem at all, poor dear."
Langdon thanked her and took the phone. While she prattled on beside him about how terrible she would feel if she lost her iPhone, Langdon pulled up Google's search window and pressed the microphone button. When the phone beeped once, Langdon articulated his search string. "Dante, Divine Comedy, Paradise, Canto 25. The woman looked amazed, apparently having yet to learn about this feature. As the search results began to materialize on the tiny screen, Langdon stole a quick glance back at Sienna, who was thumbing through some printed material near the basket of letters to Beatrice. Not far from where Sienna stood, a man in a necktie was kneeling in the shadows, praying intently, his head bowed low. Langdon couldn't see his face, but he felt a pang of sadness for the solitary man, who had probably lost his loved one and had come here for comfort. Langdon returned his focus to the iPhone, and within seconds was able to pull up a link to a digital offering of the Divine Comedy, freely accessible because it was in the public domain. When the page opened precisely to Canto 25, he had to admit he was impressed with the technology. "I've got to stop being such a snob about leather-bound books," he reminded himself. "E-books do have their moments." As the elderly woman looked on, showing a bit of concern and saying something about the high data rates for surfing the internet abroad, Langdon sensed that his window of opportunity would be brief, and he focused intently on the web page before him. The text was small, but the dim lighting in the chapel made the illuminated screen more legible. Langdon was pleased to see he had randomly stumbled into the Mandelbaum translation, a popular modern rendition by the late American professor Alan Mandelbaum. For his dazzling translation, Mandelbaum had received Italy's highest honor, the Presidential Cross of the Order of the Star of Italian Solidarity. While admittedly less overtly poetic than Longfellow's version, Mandelbaum's translation tended to be far more comprehensible. "Today I'll take clarity over poesy," Langdon thought, hoping to quickly spot in the text a reference to a specific location in Florence, the location where Ignazio hid the Dante death mask. The iPhone's tiny screen displayed only 6 lines of text at a time, and as Langdon began to read, he recalled the passage. In the opening of Canto 25, Dante referenced the Divine Comedy itself, the physical toll its writing had taken on him, and the aching hope that perhaps his heavenly poem could overcome the wolfish brutality of the exile that kept him from his fair Florence.